Hey, y'all, Billy from Permapastures Farm. All right, here you see me in another angle and where you've never seen me before, more than likely. And wow, beautiful weather, beautiful fall day. As you can see behind me, I mean, wow, leaves are falling, which is a pretty awesome thing, because now we can use that as a source of carbon in the chicken tractor on steroids. We can also use those leaves as bedding. So many awesome options for leaves. And we're going to provide a number of uses and things maybe you didn't think about either. Also use them as something of a mulch ring. That's exactly what nature uses it, so why don't we replicate that same thing too? Anyway, this video is about something else entirely. Something I've been kind of, to a certain extent, I guess you could say I've been kind of teasing on the podcast. And it really wasn't that at all. It wasn't teasing something for effect. It was just... it's something that almost certainly within the preparedness crowd is going to have two reactions. You're either going to say amen, or you're so married to the idea that you're going to be upset with what I'm about to say. And it's regarding, where is it? Yeah. These things right here. Over the past, I'd say more than a decade or so, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 15 years, they've become rather ubiquitous and popular. Now, I will say that when I was doing electric work, these things are pretty common and they're pretty handy and they can save your life, because doing the kind of work I do or did, and a number of the other people that may be in the skilled trades, these things have been a game changer in a lot of different ways. You may find yourself in situations, and you often do, where you make a wrong move one way or another, and that can mean the end of you. I mean, you could be Kentucky fried, you could be hurt badly, or even dead. Either way, I mean, these things have been a game changer in so many different ways when it comes to many, many things. And same thing with these. Same thing altogether. I mean, they have their role. And yeah, if there are places where you need such a thing, whether it's a flashlight, a bar light, headlamp, whatever the case may be, they all have their applications. But it's one of those things also that I think has been misapplied. And that's in terms of a tactical environment. Now, for years, whether it was in the preparedness space, whether it was preparedness campouts, whatever the case may be, those things have been the bane of my existence. Let me back up a little bit more. When you're a soldier, one of the first things you learn, let's say it's in basic training, and let's say it's your first time ever sleeping outside, or maybe back in the day they even called it bivouac, or whatever the case may be, well, you find out right off the bat is there are no lights in the tactical environment. I mean, at all. You may have, you know, back in the day, you may have that little flashlight with a red lens on it, but you don't turn it on. And if you do, it is under very, very precise circumstances. You're never just going to shine it, even at, in the at the dead of night. You're going to do it under a poncho line or something like that, because even that red light can be seen. Now, in these tactical campouts, what I've seen over and over and over again is people walking around with these things, and not only are they, you know, they think it's being useful, they're going around, they're shining it wherever, but they're also shining it in your eyes, which is screwing up your night vision if you even had it to begin with. But in these times, and we've talked about it a number of times, and I know this ain't going to be popular with a lot of people out there in the homesteading world, because most of us seem to, I'll be honest, many of us seem to be myopic in our worldview coming to preparedness or homesteading or what all these things should mean. We think there ought to be distinct boundaries between homesteading and preparedness or permaculture, and I think that's absurd. And I have for the longest time. And I'm, like I said, I'm not going to win fans for this, but I don't care, because we're at a time in America, and I dare say the world, where I'm not doing anybody any favors by withholding what I know to be true. And these things are going to get a lot of people killed in the wrong tactical environment. Now, if you're working on something in the basement or whatever, yeah, they have their place. But in a tactical environment in the field, not only would you not have a headlamp, ask any soldier in the field how many times you had a fire. Because you don't. Especially in a tactical environment. In fact, there was this joke that ran forever and a day, from my understanding, all the way back to World War I, where there's no such thing as a gay man on a cold night. because it's not uncommon for two guys to share a poncho or a poncho liner. And back in the day, we even called it going nut to butt. I mean, it's what you did whatever you had to. I mean, within reason, you did whatever you had to stay warm on a cold night, and it didn't involve having a fire. So if we find ourselves in those circumstances again, and judging by a lot of what you hear people talking about, and we've never been fear mongers on this channel, it might not hurt to know, to already have it up here, and maybe, just maybe, train walking around without these things, because I guarantee you, you don't need it. If you just let your night vision, just stick outside for maybe 30, maybe 45 minutes, no lights around, and then just watch the transformation that happens in your eyes. You're going to find out that even in the darkest of nights, that if you just wait long enough, that you can get around, not with your, you know, looking directly at anything, but you're getting around with your peripheral vision. Soldiers, natives all over this world have been doing it forever and a day. That's how you get around. But the second you put on one of these, no matter how discreet you think you're being, even if there's some that have red lights on them, I don't care. It is not discreet enough. And if you think I just covered these, I'm going to go ahead and hit these others as well. Now, this is this ain't the most highfalutin version of night vision, but it is night vision, okay? Now, let's say you have this. I mean, it's not absolutely necessary. It is a combat multiplier. But every one of these, not every one of them, but a majority of them these days have an IR setting, standing for infrared. This has exactly the same effect as one of these, but in different ways. I'll explain why. Well, you're thinking, okay, I got my night vision on, everything's cool, you know, I have the tactical advantage because I can see everybody, but they can't see me, right? Until you hit that IR or infrared setting, and on some of these, a lot of them, they're going to shoot out a beam that you can't see with your naked eye. But with another set of night vision, you can see that beam. So that was why, even in tactical environments in the military, people did it anyway, but you almost never wanted to use the IR setting because it has exactly the same effect as one of those little headlamps to another person with night vision. So you got to be careful about that as well. So why am I saying all this? Why is this even of any consequence? Well, number one, a lot of people have been asking me. I've been kind of teasing this out. And it wasn't just to keep somebody on the hook or anything like that. It was, I'll be honest with you, there's a great deal of reluctance in me even talking about this. I'll be honest with you. I mean, at the end of the day, I have night vision and other degrees and capabilities with night vision, some of which I won't discuss here. But look, I'm not looking. I just need to make the distinguish. I need to distinguish between Bigfoot and a big dummy coming onto my property. You dig? I mean, one's going after, I don't know, whatever, this mythological creature. And then this other one is one that could mean harm in the wrong circumstances. I just need night vision to be able to give me indication of movement. There's a number of other things. I could probably do an entire video on that alone. But the bigger point that I'm trying to make here, the thing that I'm trying to get at is, and the reason I have this great reluctance is because everybody is married to their ideas when it comes to what you should or should not do in a tactical environment. Well, universally, you ask any soldier, Marine, it doesn't matter, anybody that's ever worked in a tactical environment, they're going to tell you, you don't have fires at night. Okay? You barely have them during the day. And if you do have a fire, maybe this is the way in which you use it, where during the day, like right now, you create a fire. And then at night, like Jeremiah Johnson, that movie, you maybe lay out a little trench and put some coals in there and put your bag on top of it. Maybe that's something you do. But you don't have out there, you don't have this giant beacon out there for everybody to see you. And let me also say that if you're in a house and you're thinking, I've heard this one before, and it's absurd when you stop to think about it. You think that just because you have blackout curtains that you can turn on the lights at night and not be seen, it doesn't work that way. If you doubt me, go into your room where you have these blackout curtains, okay? Turn off all the lights, and if you can see the hue of outside of that light coming through those blackout curtains, the same exact effect happens at night, especially when the person on the outside, their eyes have been adjusted. So if you think you can turn on your light or even have a red light and think people outside won't see what's going on inside, you're kidding yourself, okay? They only work to a certain extent. You still have to take enormous precautions. But the whole reason that I'm even talking about this is that we're getting at a time in this world where we probably ought to be thinking about our tactical footprint and about what to do and maybe do a little bit of training, because something like this, practicing at night, really doesn't require much. Just turn off the lights, go outside, and don't carry a flashlight. Try to walk from one side of your property, or if you're in terrain like this, it's a little more challenging, but it can be done. It has been done, and it is being done. And if you think that you need a flashlight to get around, well, you're putting yourself at a major tactical disadvantage, okay? So like I said, I know there are going to be people that come down, you know, we can have the same, I've been at this with the preparedness community for so long that I know that there are camps where you got, for example, a person with this myopic view that thinks, okay, where's your, you know, how are you doing on communication? Do you have your ham radio squared away? But that same person won't have any food put back, or maybe they can't walk a mile. Or you have another person that says, okay, I got my night vision, but then they leave out all the rest. And then we have this other person that has food but has no way to protect it. So I'll be honest with you, it's one of the biggest reasons why I dropped out of being a part of exclusively the preparedness community, because it was all these, what I saw were idiotic camps of this and this and that. They would have one thing, but the five other things were completely neglected. So I just pulled myself away from it pretty much for the most part. So here we are today where I never left it. I just removed myself from certain communities and, you know, still practiced all the things I thought were important. Now, in this video, do I have all the answers? No. But I have what I think are answers. And I know one thing for sure is if you're in a tactical environment and you got a white light, your survivability just went to zero. Okay? I don't know how, there's no nice way of me putting that. So you got to start getting this stuff down. You got to get this training down, okay? All right. So with that said, y'all, if anybody wants to come see us or be, you know, where we're going to be, they got that at the end of the week, the Farm Where You Live get together. It's going to be down in South Carolina. You can go to freesteading.com and get more information on that. Need anything we have? Bone sauce. It's when you see these leaves coming off, it's about the best time for you to start putting bone sauce on. Your fruit trees, it's the best time, and I'll explain. I'll even do another video on how to properly do that. And if, folks, if you need anything from us, you know, just go to the website, look down below. All right, y'all. Hope this has been a blessing to you. Hopefully it's been edifying for those of you that are willing to examine this information for yourself. Till next time, this is Billy from Permapastures Farm, where permaculture is my passion, and so is preparedness. All right, y'all, stay alert, stay alive. We'll see you next time.